an Indiana man lost his life savings, more than $175,000, gambling at a casino. Now he's gone to court in a bid to get the money back. The case raises a question that's grown more vexing as legalized casino gaming spreads. What responsibility do casinos bear for gamblers who get addicted, squander their fortunes, and ruin their lives? NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
David Williams was a frugal man, a state auditor for 25 years, who clipped coupons for discounts on groceries. Despite his modest salary, he'd paid off his house and built a tidy nest egg. When the swanky new Astar Casino first docked near his home on the Ohio River, Williams stayed away. But then he got a certificate in the mail worth $20 of gambling tokens, so he went on in. Before long, Williams was addicted. His lawyer, Terry Nofsinger, says the casino should have known he was in over his head. In 1 month alone, Williams lost twice his annual salary.
In March of 1997, he lost over $72,000. That same month, he made an application for credit. He told them what his income was, what his assets and liabilities were, and what they do, they gave him credit.
The casino's computers were tracking Williams' losses because he was using his fun card. It's like a frequent flyer card and awards points gamblers can cash in for free meals and other prizes. Casinos use the data for marketing, but Nofsinger says it should also alert them when patrons like Williams return day after day and pull the lever on a slot machine for up to 20 hours straight. He says casinos just encourage people like Williams to gamble more.
One night, the casino gave him a whole floor to gamble on. They had closed down the third floor, but Mr. Williams was really wanting to stay at this one machine, so somebody let him stay. He was there with one guard just to watch him. And it's really insidious, in my opinion, because they make these people feel good. They make them feel important, and they also make them broke.
As his losses mounted, Williams stopped feeling good. His girlfriend was afraid he would commit suicide. She asked Casino Astar to ban him, and the casino complied. But less than a year later, he slipped back in, and by the time anyone noticed, Williams had lost everything. He's asking for more than $175,000 to cover his losses, plus the same amount in punitive damages. Nofsinger says he hopes this case forces some sort of change.
There's no question that pathological gambling is a sickness. When you have that, and when people don't have the capability to keep themselves out of the casinos, when they're doing things that will bankrupt them and cause them to commit suicide, it's time for somebody else to step in, somebody else to pay attention.
The American Psychiatric Association recognizes compulsive gambling as a mental disorder. A government study in 1999 calculated that it afflicts at least 1% of the adult population, as many as 2.5 million people nationwide. Spokesmen for the gaming industry say they're well aware that a small percentage of their patrons are compulsive gamblers.
We want to do what we can to help them. We don't want them in our establishments.
But Frank Fahrenkopf, president and CEO of the American Gaming Association, says keeping them out isn't easy. He says most compulsive gamblers don't apply for credit, and they don't make themselves obvious either.
You can't tell a pathological gambler just by looking at someone as to whether or not they are someone who has a gaming problem. Clearly, a bartender who's trained can tell when someone's had too much to drink and can't stand up or their speech is slurred. But you don't have that with people who are pathological gamblers.
Fahrenkopf says huge losses don't necessarily tell you much either, since an amount that might bankrupt one patron might be pocket change to another. And American casinos are wide open. Some entertain 30,000 people a day, Fahrenkopf says, and most are just having fun.
You know, there is also, has to be factored in, some personal responsibility in all of this. Why should the 99% of the people in the country who can gamble responsibly be denied the right to do so because 1% has a problem and doesn't want to take care of it?
So far, the courts have sided with the industry, according to I. Nelson Rose, a gaming expert at Whittier Law School. Rose says gaming is already closely regulated.
The few cases that have come down have said, look, if a casino obeys the statutes, obeys the regulations, basically obeys the laws, then it's complying completely with the public policy set by the state. Why then should somebody be able to sue them?
And the industry hasn't ignored the problem of compulsive gambling. It funds independent research and counseling services. Casinos post signs and offer brochures with 800 numbers for patrons who suspect they or a loved one is in trouble. And if gamblers request it, most casinos will now do what Casino Aztar did, bar a compulsive gambler from the premises. The trouble is, admitting that patrons get addicted can actually increase a casino's liability. I. Nelson Rose says, if you put someone's name on a list of compulsive gamblers, you can no longer claim ignorance.
If somebody is on that list and then they change their mind after a few months and try to get back in, if the casino lets them back in, particularly if they actually solicit them, advertise to them, and bring them back in with promotions, there's the potential for all sorts of terrible lawsuits.
And Terry Nofsinger says that's exactly what happened to his client. It's an unusual case, but possibly an important one, because it raises a fundamental question that hasn't been resolved. Is a casino obligated to keep a compulsive gambler out? The plaintiffs say yes, Casino Aztar says no. This industry has deep pockets, and losing this case could make it a more tempting target for trial lawyers. Gambling and addiction consultant Arnie Wexler says the biggest threat is a class action lawsuit.
If you ever end up with a class action lawsuit, it could end up like the cigarette industry has at this point. So I think that the industry knows that and understands that. They're paying attention. I think they're trying to be responsible, and I think they're looking for some answers. And rightfully so.
The question is whether that will be enough to keep compulsive gamblers and their lawyers at bay. Kathleen Chalk, NPR News, Washington.